I anticipate being here. I don't do much evangelism. I try to do things that are going to be challenging, yes, but also encouraging to the faithful. Does that make sense? Tonight I want us to spend some time thinking about the faithfulness of our God. He is faithful. We're going to be in the book of Lamentations for the most part. We'll look at a few other places, but for the most part, we'll be in Lamentations tonight. Oh, and by the way, I noticed that you have not had viewer's guides today. Did you notice that? Did you miss them, or you did miss them? Okay. You didn't have them. I can't blame this on Linda. She didn't forget. You didn't have them because with the battle I've been going through and the holiday week, I thought about doing a viewer's guide for this morning's message when I sat down on this front pew and saw one from a couple of weeks ago. So I asked Ellen if that was today. She's trying to think, now I know I didn't do one, but maybe it is. And she said, no, that's not today. So, okay. So you didn't have it because I didn't do it. I see, I'm not as faithful as God is. That was good. Yeah. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 25 to begin with. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. One of the favorite old hymns, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Yeah. There is a I have to tell you, it gets worse the later it gets in the day. There is a simple definition. God's faithfulness means that everything that he says and everything that he does is certain. He is 100% reliable, 100% of the time. Do you get that? Our God is 100% reliable, 100% of the time. He does not fail, he does not forget, he does not falter, he does not change, and he does not disappoint. He says what he means, and he means what he says, and therefore everything that he says, he will do. I got that. If God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. You know, I hear people say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. If God says it, that settles it. It's done. Let's look and see some of what the Bible says about God's faithfulness. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Yahweh God is slow to anger. Because I pushed the envelope way too many times. I see how far he'll let me go before he slaps me way too many times. But he's slow to anger, and his love is steadfast forever. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." There'll never be a people that he doesn't love. There'll never be a people that he isn't faithful to. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "The rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice." Are you getting this? His work is perfect. All his ways are justice. That means the right. It's pure, it's holy, a God of faithfulness without iniquity, just and upright is he. Joshua 21:45 says about him, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All had come to pass." Did you ever make a promise and didn't keep it? Some people are shaking their head like this. Some people are grimacing. Some people are trying to make out like they can't see me. And if you can't see me, I can't see you. God never made a promise. God never said, "I will," that he didn't keep the promise or that he didn't do. When he said, "I will," he did. And if he hasn't done it yet, he's getting ready to. You just got to know that there's no uncertainty. You have to know that there's no doubting. There's no wavering. There's no maybe with God. It is or it isn't. Psalm 25:10 says, "All of the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." Do you hear what the psalmist says? He said to those that love the Lord, those that stay in covenant with the Lord, everywhere they go, everything that happens in their lives, they're going to be experiencing the steadfast love of God, the unwavering love of God, and the faithfulness of God, that I will go with you. I will not forsake you. I will be a light unto your path, a lamp unto your feet. I will show you. I will guide you. I will empower you. All of the time. You see, God's faithfulness, his inability not to do what he says he will do, his inability to waver. God's faithfulness is at the very core of his nature. Jehovah God. I know that I use these two examples over and over and over, but I don't know what else to say. The God that said, let there be, and poof it was. The God that said, let us make man, and he did. The God that keeps the planets in their orbit and waters the earth and grows the vegetation. This God, the one that Isaiah saw high and lifted up. Now you got that God up there? You got that God who is so high above and so magnificent and so glorious and so mighty and so powerful? You got that God? Is knowable. We can know him. We can talk with him. And he will talk with us. We can lean on him. And he will hold us up. He is knowable. He is holy. He is the creator. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is just. And he is sovereign, unchanging, and loving. He is all of those things because at the very core of his character, he is faithful. He never changes. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you will surely do it. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And so, we see some of what the Bible says about God's faithfulness. Now, I want you to think a little bit about the weeping prophet here. Anybody know who wrote the book of Jeremiah or the book of Lamentations? Boy, I gave that away, didn't I? Jeremiah, you think? What was your first clue? So Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations, and because of that, he's been nicknamed the weeping prophet. Now, I want you to remember, the guy that wrote Lamentations is the same guy that wrote, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper and not destroy. Plans to bring you to that expected end. Jeremiah wrote that. And then he wrote some of this other stuff. Jeremiah was not a very popular prophet in his day. He was not a very happy man. He was not popular because the people didn't like what he had to say. He was not happy because he was not popular. Jeremiah had come to the place in his life where he felt like God treated him horribly. God just wasn't fair to Jeremiah. And in chapter 3, Jeremiah whines about God not being faithful to him. No prophet had pleaded with the people any more sincerely, any stronger than Jeremiah had. And quite likely, nobody other than Jesus had been more reviled or rejected by the people that he was sent to. So, allow me to just summarize some of what Jeremiah's major complaints were. First of all, he says that God was angry with him. God was angry with him. Jeremiah has seen trouble in his life, and life was full of trouble right now, and it was hard and painful and disgusting. And Jeremiah knows that this trouble is because God is upset with him and with his people. God's angry. Verse 1 says, I am the man who has seen the affliction under the rod of his wrath. God's angry with me. And then he felt like he was always in the dark. He didn't know what was going on, not able to see things clearly. Verse 2, he said, he has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. You know, I bet there are days that some of you feel like God's got you in the darkness. You can't see what's going on. You don't have the light of the understanding. He gets to the place where he feels like God is just totally against him. Verse 3 says, surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. God's hand is turned against me. He's feeling as though God is striking him down. What's going on? God is attacking me. Verse 10, he says, he is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. Wow. Jeremiah says, I'm to the place in my life where I just know that this God is laying in wait to shred me to pieces like a bear or a lion would. You ever seen a newscast where somebody got attacked and mauled by a lion? Or a bear. It ain't pretty. And that's how this prophet of God was feeling about his relationship with God. Now we know he was a man of God.
But he got sidetracked here.
Twelve to 13. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. God is systematically destroying me. He was in constant pain. Verse 4 said, he has made my flesh and my skin waste away and has broken my bones. He was to give up. He knew that there was no way of escape. Verse 7 says, he has walled me about so I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Ever feel like your prayers go unanswered? Jeremiah did. Verse 8 says, though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. Now that's bad enough. All this is... All this is bad enough. But it gets really, really personal. Because he complains about people. The people that God sent him to talk to. People make fun of him. They ridicule him. They laugh at him. Verse 14, I have become a laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. Jeremiah is in a rather sad state of affairs. He says in 17 and 18, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. I've had this conversation with people. Not these words. But I've had this conversation where people feel like their hope in the Lord is just not, it's empty. Life's tough. You experience some of these things from time to time. We all do. Ever felt like God was mad at you? I got a call one night, been 30 years ago now. My youth minister asked me to come to the house. I went to their house, and things were just in a horrible mess. Long story short, his wife had just been raped in one of the retail parking lots. And in her car, and then she drove home. No police report, no doctors, no nothing. Couldn't convince them to do any of that. The only thing they wanted from me that night was to tell them the answer to this question. What have we done so wrong that God would do this to her? You say, well, that's not what's going on here. Jeremiah was saying the same thing. What have I done so wrong that God is so angry at me that he would do all of this? Sometimes we feel like we're just in the dark and we can't see. We don't know what God's doing. We feel like he's working against us, or our prayers aren't getting through the ceiling at all. Though I may have been close, I've not gotten to this spot, but I know the others that have. We're just ready to give it all up. Just ready to throw in the towel. And in the middle, in the middle of the pity party, Jeremiah says, "But I call this to mind." Verse 21. "But I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope." Now we're going to see what he calls to mind, but we have to understand this. "I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope." What I want to say to you is that it is okay sometimes to have these kinds of feelings like Jeremiah was having. It's a normal course of life, and we get in those places at times. It's okay to have those feelings, and please, please, please understand that when you have those feelings, it is okay, as it's probably necessary, to express those feelings to God. "Huh? You mean it's okay for me to tell God I'm angry at him?" Psst. He already knows it. He already knows you're angry at him. And it's healthy for you to say that to him. And it's life-giving and brings you to the place to where you can begin to deal with these issues. It's okay to have these kinds of feelings. But it's not okay to give in to these feelings and stay there. You can't do that. That'll kill you. You can't give in to it, and you can't just stay there. Or some people will say to you, "Well, you know, that's what I feel, and I just can't help what I feel. There's nothing I can do about what I feel. It's just the way things are." Well, I'm not sure that's true. I think there is something we can do about the way we feel. Verse 21 is a pivotal verse. It is the hinge on what the whole book of Lamentations swings on. "Yet I call this to mind and have hope." If we focus just on the affliction, if we focus just on the turmoil, just on the pain, just on the problems, we will find ourselves being pushed deeper and deeper and deeper into the pit of despair. And it'll get worse day after day. But Jeremiah said, "I call this to mind, and it gives me hope." Verses 19 and 20. "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." we can stay there. Or we can force ourselves to think in a different way. 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Now here's what he calls to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the anger, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of all that would seek to bring you down and destroy your relationship with God. He says, remember this. Remember the steadfast love of the Lord God never changes. No matter what's going on in your life, God loves you just as much in the dark times as he does when you're up on the mountains. He loves you just as much when you fall down in that slimy pit as he does when you're walking on cloud nine. It just doesn't change. He loves you when you're having the glorious worship experience and when you just can't bring yourself to pray. He loves you just as much. In the pits, in the darkness, in the pain, we might cry out, why doesn't he destroy me? Why doesn't he let me die? Why doesn't he kill me? It's because of his steadfast love that we're not consumed with evil, that we're not consumed totally with the anguish and with the destruction. How do I know? How do I know that God keeps on loving me? How do I know that? The love of the Lord never ceases. That's what Jeremiah remembered. That's what he thought about. The love of the Lord never ceases. He tells us that over and over and over. I will love you with an unending love. Well then, when will God give me what I need? He did today, and he will tomorrow. His mercies are new every morning, and his steadfast love lasts forever. So I want to leave you with the words that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:8 that says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, Paul knew that when you thought about those things, you're not thinking about people making fun of you. You're not thinking about the pain. You're not thinking about the destruction. You're not thinking about the grief and the sorrow. When you're thinking about these things, you're thinking about God and His gracious glory in your lives. And you will be honoring Him. Father, again, I thank You for Your word. Such a beautiful picture in these verses of how to move from the negative, destructive attitudes to the attitudes of peace and joy. Think about these things. Bless Your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.